Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us in 1 hour, and we will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him, so looking forward to that. Joe, some moves made yesterday by the Tennessee Titans. We knew that the waiver wire claims would come in. I think, what'd you predict, three yesterday? So you almost got it. Almost got it. Four waiver claims.
That was low.
Yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. Jalen Armour-Davis, who is a defensive back who has some experience playing with Denard Wilson, coming in. Dorian Mosey coming in. C.J. Ravenel and Samuel Womack. So you've got couple of defensive backs, a defensive end, and a linebacker that are coming into the fold here for the Titans. And because of that, you look at some additional moves made. Timmy Horn, Gabe Judy-Lally, John Ajukwu, and Curtis Jacobs waived in addition to Corey Levin yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, I guess right now technically one straight-up center is all they've got on their roster in Cushenberry, and I guess maybe Jackson Slater could be the backup now, and we'll see if Levin ends up back on the practice squad here at some point. But anything in particular stand out to you, Joe, with the moves made by the Titans yesterday?
Yeah, and I'm sure, like Corey Levin probably had an idea, but it's still – I feel like every – it's happened multiple times in his career, including, like, previous stints with the Titans where it's like, Corey Levin, he's pretty good. Oh, no, Corey Levin got cut. Never mind. Corey Levin. Remember, like, the first time around, it was actually somewhat surprising. Like, quite surprising.
Yep.
And here, it's like – kind of expected him to, you know, be the starting center in week one at Denver. And now again, they can do the practice squad thing with him. And so that may be the case. Kaharsky says, you know, Jackson Slater, like you said, might be the backup. So there's also Brandon Crenshaw Dixon is a young guy. But yeah, that one was a little surprising. And then it does seem like they, and this is a Mike Garofalo tweet. Eagles, Saints, Dolphins also put in claims for corner Jalen Armour-Davis.
Yep.
So he looks to be, of those claims, having that number one claim, you know, definitely a prize. Like, here's a benefit of having that, because if, you know, three other teams, one of them the defending Super Bowl champ, are putting in a claim for a guy, you probably had got some. So I think that's a – clearly an important add for the Titans to and very much needed at that position.
Well, and he's only played 19 games in 3 years. So he played four in 2022, eight in 2023, and seven last year, started two games for Baltimore last year. So 19 games in 3 years. You know, if the name sounds familiar, he went to Alabama. So he's an Alabama guy. So I don't know exactly what type of role he's going to play here with the Titans, but like you said, some competition to go get him, and that's where having the number one waiver spot comes in handy for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. On the practice squad front, Mason Kinsey has found his way back home on the practice squad, so good to see him back in there. Xavier Restrepo, if you're wondering if he was going to get claimed by somebody else, he did not.
He did
not. So he is on the practice squad for the Tennessee Titans. Trevor Siemian has made it through. James Prochet has made it through to the practice squad. Thomas Odokoya back on there as well. So, the Titans get their guys onto the practice squad without losing them elsewhere around the league. Not a huge surprise.
Yeah. I still, you know, like we talked about with TD yesterday, I still would rather – I would rather see, like, a developmental quarterback, young QB, as your QB throwing your practice squad. You can also look at it like a guy like Siemian, so he's going to be given the defense looks. Is it a bad thing to have a veteran who's been around who can give them some decent looks in practice? Is that, like, is there more value in that than having a young guy? Still, I feel like a young guy can still go do those things and practice and help you in that way. Obviously, QB2 has got to prepare for the game and got to be ready to play and run the offense and run the game plan. Whereas, you know, you got a QB3 running the show team. I just still can't get over Vrabel calling it the show team, but the scout team, right? I would still I'd like to see a young guy in there. I think that would have been the way to go, but they got Simeon.
Well, and I guess my question from a roster standpoint now is between now and week one, when the game rolls around, do the Titans look at bringing in somebody that's still out there on the street? Like, we talked about Preston Smith a couple weeks ago. He's still out there. Like, do the Titans consider bringing somebody like that in? I mean, at this point, Joe, I would have to guess no. I mean, it's August the 28th, and we're, you know, a week away from the NFL season beginning next Thursday. You play a week from Sunday. So it's not impossible to bring somebody in and be ready to go by the time that comes around, but it kind of feels like you're running out of time on that front. So that to me, I guess, is the biggest thing. Like, you know, we got caught up in the waiver wire. We just went through the names. How many of those guys are going to be of any significance for the Titans this year? I have no idea. Yeah. Probably not very many. And if they are, probably means you're going through some injuries there. So,
but you will go through some injuries.
You will go through some, and it's not ever a bad thing to add some depth. But I do wonder, like, at edge rusher specifically, do they try to bring in somebody that's still out there?
Yeah, it has seemed like an obvious thing to do for a long time. They're still not doing it, right? So you hope it's not, you know, because they can't spend money. Like, go ahead, and if there's somebody who can help you, do it. But also, you hope what it is maybe some of these young guys are, you know, have made gains, and they feel like they have decent depth with some of those guys. I mean, obviously they don't have the front line difference makers that you need, but you're not getting that out there.
Well, Za'Darius Smith is still out there, and he had 9 sacks last year. And Jeremy Fowler put it out there the other day that Za'Darius Smith, multiple contending teams have checked in on him, who is training and waiting on the right situation. That does not sound like somebody who's waiting on the Tennessee Titans to give him the call.
No, exactly. I've kind of expected him all along to go back to the Lions, but I have no idea. But yeah, they're not the team that gets a guy like that. It's just because, first of all, like, he's really not that. I mean, he had 9 sacks last year. Good for him. He'll help somebody, but he's the classic add to the contender because they're loading up, and that's what he is. And it's to bring him in here, like, would he be their best edge? I mean, he's right in the same, right around Arden Key's level.
Different
kind of player, but same basically like quality level.
One texter says, with the Titans picking up 2 corners on the waiver wire, do you think that means they don't expect Snead back? It tells me that they look at the bottom of their corner room and are like, man, this is bad. Exactly. Like, we need some help here.
Yeah, exactly. It's more about that. Now, if you like him and you feel like you've really improved yourself, you do have to cover your butt for when Snead inevitably can't play. But he's going to play. He's going to play, and then we'll see how long he plays, right? And if you're them, you have to be ready for him to not be that good. But even if he's – I mean, even if he's like what he was last year, okay, then he's starting for you, you know, for sure. But then you also have to be ready for him to get hurt, and then now you have – you think – better plays. But no, I don't look at it like it's a direct Snead move. It's a, yeah, like you said, the some of the depth guys they had there just weren't up to snuff.
Anthony on YouTube asking how we feel about Shy Tuttle and his addition to the team with the Titans.
Yeah, you know,
can you read into any of these moves when it comes to injuries? Shy Tuttle in like Sweat or Levin and Cushenberry?
I mean,
like, maybe they're optimistic on Cushenberry.
Yeah, it tells me that Cushenberry is going to be ready to go. Like, I think Cushenberry is going to play in week one.
You know, Tuttle, what does that mean for Sweat?
I think Tuttle's the same thing we do with the corners, which is that they
just churn in the bottom.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, how good is Tuttle?
I mean,
it's not a bad ad.
Like, he's started a guy a lot of games in the National Football League, and, you know, like, you know, he adds to
the
depth.
He makes it better. He makes him better.
Like, I would not get expectations too high for Shy Tuttle coming in, but you're talking about a guy that started 15 games last year and started 17 games in each of the – or started 17 games the year before that. He's been in the league now at this point for a while. He's got 95 games worth of experience, and he's, what, 29 years old. So, you know, he's a serviceable player is what he is.
Yeah,
Wonder why the Panthers moved on from him.
The Panthers apparently moving on from everybody.
They're loaded, man.
Thielen.
They're loaded.
Traded him.
Maybe they drafted somebody. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, Thielen, I guess you look around and it's like, well, we got Xavier Leggett. What more do we need?
Tet McMillan, baby.
Tet McMillan and Xavier Leggett. What a combo.
That's pretty good. Remind me where Thielen went.
Minnesota.
He was right. He went back to Minnesota.
Yeah. So.
There you go.
Apparently, the Panthers looking to make some moves.
I'm intrigued by the Panthers
this
year. That's
the organization
you want to
follow.
I'm not going to lie. Yep. I'm intrigued. And they could be, and you know, if they actually are kind of good this year, you know, there you go. There's an example of you can have the worst owner in sports, and they can still somehow find their way to being decent at football sometimes.
That would get my hopes up.
We'll see
what happens on that front. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. We will do that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds taking on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway coming up on August 30th and 31st. That is this weekend. Be caller 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway this weekend. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. People asking about the Robbie and Rex Road fantasy football spot for the day. We will have that to give away later this hour. So make sure you're tuned in for that. But later this hour, we will give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. One spot today, and we will have two more spots tomorrow to give away. So three more opportunities in total, Joe, for people to get involved in our fantasy league.
There we go. And you got to stay on your toes.
You never know what might happen.
Robbie's got different stuff for you.
Never know what might happen. Got a texter, Ben, on the text line says, I know he just got a raise, but if the Titans are actually decent halfway through the year, what if we trade a second rounder for Hendrickson and give him a big 2-year deal with only guarantees in 2026 at the trade deadline, assuming that the Bengals would want to dance with us at that point?
Well, first of all, the Bengals just paid him $30 million this year to make a run this year.
Yeah.
So obviously, so for your scenario to even, which I have doubts about it on every level, but
I'm not interested in giving up a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
At age 31.
The reason the Bengals have been hesitant. Yes, the Bengals are cheap, notoriously cheap, and they live up to their reputation all the time, but also, I do get it from their perspective, which is like, how much great football is there left? I mean, how much great football do you expect from an edge getting into the 30s, you know? So if you're the Titans, why are you paying a ton, including draft capital, for that when you're nowhere near contending? Can you get close? Can you get to pretty good playoff team quickly in this league? Absolutely. But I wouldn't. I mean, I have no idea if they will. And again, are the Bengals going to be so bad that they're actually like, oh, never mind, that $30 million we just invested in this year, no, let's trade them now. I think that's just not happening.
Well, and again, if the Titans were to do something like that, you need to be better than decent, right? Like you need Cam Ward to be like, all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, wow, the Titans are 6-1. Like, what's going on out here?
Like, wow, like by next year, this is a contender.
Right.
Okay, then fine. How are you possibly going to be able to conclude that at that point?
Yeah, it's just not.
Yeah, no.
Well, and the Titans don't really need – unless it's like somebody like Micah Parsons, and again, I'm not suggesting that that's going to be possible here, but that's the type of player that you make a trade for who's 26 years old and is a – demonstrated great football player with years left still in his prime, right? Like that's the type of move where you're like, yeah, you can give up some draft capital there. Anything really past that, if you're the Titans right now, you have to build this thing through the draft. So I'm not giving up first rounders, second rounders, third rounders. I mean, look, there was some speculation out there. I think Bleacher Report put something out. Like, hey, would the Titans be interested in giving up a fourth-round pick for Brian Robinson Jr.? No. Why would they do that? No. I'm not interested in any of that.
Yeah. You trade in anything higher than a fourth, really than a fifth. It's for someone like who's a difference maker, a big-time difference maker. Those draft picks are valuable. And, you know, the what are you doings out there? Yeah. I know you still wish maybe you had the draft picks. But you know what? Maybe the Cam Dews will be right.
Maybe so.
Ed on the text line says, with regard to wanting a developmental QB, isn't that Levis? How many can you have and reasonably expect to develop, especially with a rookie quarterback? This is from Ed on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, well, Levis is hurt.
Yeah, but I think his point is, like, if you're bringing in the young rookie quarterback to develop, well, Levis is going to be back under contract next year. So, like, you're just going to have him on the roster, another quarterback on the roster to develop. Like, how many young guys on the roster are you going to have at that spot?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, they're moving him, right? Of course, I've been saying that forever, but I think that's for sure. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I guess if you have a good veteran backup that you feel good about, I think sometimes, you know, with these young guys, like, you can end up being really pleasantly surprised. And at the very least, like, again, let's take a Kyle McCord. At the very least, or not the very least, but, like, potentially you get, like, a really good backup for a long time, right? It's like, okay, he's now better than Brandon Allen.
Yep.
And you feel really good about your backup situation, right? It could be better than that, but even that would be nice to have, right? You have a price-controlled good QB2.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I, first off, McCord ends up in Philadelphia, so it's like, of course he does.
Sure.
Of course that's where he ended up. So I saw that yesterday and was like, oh, good. We'll see what that looks
like. They're pretty smart.
Yeah, they are.
They seem to do good, smart stuff.
Mark on YouTube says, go down the roster and compare each position this year versus last year. My bet is we have upgraded it close to 50% and bring back at least 10% of the players who missed more than half of the season last year. Should have taken the picks and Carter/Hunter and waited on quarterback. Well, I don't know about that last part, but I don't know. Like, looking at the roster, they've upgraded it close to 50% of the spots. We'll see. I mean, edge rusher, it's hard to get there on that one. Linebacker, we'll see. I think there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, boy, that's – I don't know. It'd be an interesting exercise. Yeah, like, I mean, you know, like Cody Barton seems to be, like, better. Yep. Now, so again, with some of the upgrades, that's what you want. You want, like, a young player.
Yep.
Cedric Gray is a total non-entity a year ago. Now he's probably going to start.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've upgraded by not changing the player, just by him getting better.
Right.
And these young receivers, is that an upgrade? Like, how much better is, like, the receiver room?
We'll see.
Helm, better than a Wiley. There you go.
Offensive line, you would think, would be better.
More, better than an MPF.
Yeah. So. Maybe they've upgraded. Maybe we're sleeping on the Titans.
Maybe.
Maybe they were so bad a year ago that it's not that hard to upgrade.
That's the thing. You can do that and still win six games.
Yeah. So, I mean, quarterback, that's a big question, too. Like, this year, forget long-term with Ward. How big of an upgrade is Ward this year on what they had a year ago? You would think conventional wisdom would tell you it shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
But he is a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, if I had – because it was so bad last year, I think you can say it's an upgrade, but
then, oh sure, like, how much though?
Yeah. But I guess if that's all we're saying is just an upgrade, even if it's a slight tick of an upgrade, then that counts as an upgrade. Might be a significant one. Probably going to have some weeks this year where you wonder if it is one because he's a rookie.
And the other good part of this is, like, if they can block properly through the first 2 weeks on special teams, not allow a punt block, and then they can go tackle somebody when they kick or punt the ball. You're talking about an upgrade there already.
Yeah, like, what's the value
of... It's like, wow, they made a special teams tackle. How about that?
Yeah, what's the value of going from, like, a guy who should not have been a special teams coordinator to, like, one of the best ones in the league? What's the value of that?
I mean, you would think it would help tremendously. I would hope so, even given the state of their roster right now. And then, you know, if you need Joey Sly to kick apparently a 70-yard field goal, he can do it.
Yeah, when he shanks a 38-yarder, then you may wonder.
You might.
I mean, he might kick it out of the stadium.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, wow. Joey Slide shanked that one into the Cumberland River. How'd he do that? It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if that one will end up being an upgrade. We'll see. But even, you know, like the coaching, not just the special teams coordinator, I mean, are these coaches smarter, better for what they went through last year? That's a possible. Possible upgrade.
I would hope so. We'll have more to get to coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rex Road has come up with two stories that apparently we've not talked about that involve me. So I'm very interested to see what this is.
Damn right.
Coming up next. Vanderbilt football beginning the season this Saturday at home against Charleston Southern. You can catch all the action on 102.5 The Game with the pregame show starting at 4:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, it's time. It's time to give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
Let's go.
Today's pretty simple. Be caller 7, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 7 will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Our fantasy draft next Wednesday night, we would very much encourage you to be there in person. You do not necessarily have to, but we would encourage you to be there in person. So if you can be there in person, please call in. 615-737-1025. Caller 7 will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Now, Joe has put something on our grid that I don't know what's coming here. I have a couple ideas, but I don't know what's coming here of two news stories we've not discussed that apparently involved me. So, Joe, I turn the floor over to you.
Well, what are your guesses?
My guess is Taylor Swift's one of them.
Okay. Boom. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, we got to talk about it.
And Micah Parsons is the other one.
No.
Dang.
The other one is Cracker Barrel. So, let's start with that. All right. So, like, you know, you're the biggest Cracker Barrel fan I know. I mostly stay out of these things. It looks like it's the big culture war screaming back and
apparently
forth.
So.
But, you know, like when you found out that the Cracker Barrel logo was changing, were you upset?
Oh, I was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's the grandpa? That's the grandpa?
It's Uncle Herschel. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Uncle Herschel?
Yeah, man.
Okay. I didn't know that the guy had a name. Uncle Herschel.
It's Uncle Herschel.
Okay. And they change it to just the Cracker Barrel lettering?
Yeah, like they put they quote unquote modernized the logo. It just made it basically like this barrel. That's all it was. Like it was just a barrel.
So they,
with
they put a
barrel.
New barrel that wasn't in there.
Yeah, they took him out and put the barrel.
Uncle Herschel's
wasn't in there.
Out
yeah.
And just an actual.
But
barrel.
But now they've gone back. They've revamped it. Like I am starting to think that this was just an elaborate scheme the whole time, and that they were never actually going to change it.
Really?
But they wanted to get people talking about Cracker Barrel.
Get people talking about Cracker Barrel. Okay.
I think this is a big scheme.
Okay. But are they also changing the restaurants?
Yeah.
From like.
Yeah, it bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like coming in and remodeling them. And
so they're not going to have like the country store as you walk into the dining room?
I mean, I'm sure they'll have the store, but it's going to be like. It's just modernized. And it's like, that's not Cracker Barrel, man. Like,
right.
You're supposed to feel like it's like 1948 walking into Cracker Barrel. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, apparently everything that becomes a story now, it's got to turn into some culture war. So that wasn't really why I was mad about it. I just looked at it and was like, hey, there's nothing wrong with the logo. Just leave it the way it is.
I like the old way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like New Coke, man.
Yeah.
If anybody remembers the summer of 1985, boy, that was very, very
That's
upsetting.
What I hear.
And then they went to, then they brought back Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's what it should be. And then eventually it's like, yeah, the new Coke just kind of goes away and you go with go with what works. And then the other one, yeah, but we got to talk about Taylor and Travis. And apparently, I mean, a friend of ours has really got some interesting theories on this. Good God.
I guess I was made aware of this.
You see this stuff?
Yeah, I was made aware.
Yeah.
I mean, are we allowed to talk? I mean, is there like a – I mean, Chase doesn't want us talking about hot takes.
I don't know.
Chase doesn't want me being mean to people on the text line. Are we allowed to talk about Stilly? Because, I mean, he's talking about, like, Kelsey's manhood. Like, what? You have full radio segments about it? What are we doing here?
I was unaware of this till the text line let me know. Text line's a very informative place.
Yeah, the text line, I'm locked out today. There's another complaint for Chase.
Very informative place.
But anyway, big news.
Yeah.
Exciting. I mean, right? Butch Jones was.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to. Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, Butch Jones, in typical Butch Jones fashion, found some way to get up there in front of the microphone and make it about himself. the other day, which I was like, of course.
You know, I was talking to Travis a few days ago.
Do we have that?
And, you know, I just couldn't put two and two together because I was worried about our inter-squad scrimmage. So I couldn't quite figure it out that maybe he was engaged. He was trying to tell me that. But I'm sure I'll talk to him again here in a couple days.
Like, Butch, will you be the ring bearer?
Vrabel was asked about it.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he loved that.
Well, what did he say?
I mean, I probably have a few thoughts, none that I'm going to share right now.
What? What does that mean?
Thank you, Mike. I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad
you can't just say congratulations to the couple for getting married. I got some thoughts.
I'm glad he's back in the media setting every day where we're hearing from him all the time up there.
Oh, yeah. He's had some doozies.
He's had some doozies, and we ain't even got to the season yet.
I feel like everybody talks about, you know, Nashville.
Yeah, yeah, he brought that up. He went on to go be like, oh, maybe it'll be in Nashville and all this and that. And he's like, if I get invited, we'll be happy to go or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, he kind of went on, but he was a little snarky there.
Well, I feel like this whole idea of, oh, you know, the tough Boston, I feel like they just sit there and just let him brutalize them on a daily basis.
Can I tell you the one thing?
Good one last yesterday. Oh, you got to hear this one. This is a good one.
You break up with somebody, your girlfriend doesn't want to be with you. And then you say, well, I don't want to be with you either. I'm not going to get into all that.
Yeah.
It's a roster.
What the heck is he talking about?
He's talking about cutting people.
Roster cuts.
Yeah. Because apparently, like, all these New England reporters keep coming out with, like, so I've heard this. I've heard such and such said it told you to get rid of him. It said he didn't want to be anymore. And Ravel's just like, I don't know. And he goes and answers like that. It's an itch. Like, I will say,
I quit. You can't fire me because I quit.
I think Ravel is going to get to the point pretty quickly where he misses Kuharsky. Like, right. Very quickly up there.
He might. Like, who up there? Like, because, again, I don't listen. I'm going to have to listen to, like, some forecasters.
Yeah.
I probably won't because I just don't have time. But, like, yeah, is there anybody up there, you know, poking the bear at all?
I don't know.
Or is he just out there just raging and, you know, saying
he
random stuff?
He likes to
stuff.
Give it back. He's, yeah. He's doing oh, a pretty he's good job giving it back. Yeah. He's, you know, poking them, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, I feel like more so. Now, you know, we could put together a great collage of jerky moments from Vrabel here. But yeah. I just feel like the ratio is higher now. We weren't supposed to be talking about Vrabel this time. We were supposed to be talking about the love of Taylor and Travis.
Well, can I tell you the one thing about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce stuff that bothers me? It has nothing to do with them. Like, I'm happy that they're engaged. My wife is unbelievably excited about it. Like, I got a full all caps text message about it the other day.
Nice.
So I wish them all the best. You know, I have a very limited history with Taylor Swift. Hendersonville, shout out. Love Taylor Swift.
That's right.
All right. I don't know why, and this is beyond just a Taylor Swift thing. It's really my complaint about a lot of sports social media accounts anyway. Like, I find it very weird when sports social media accounts like screenshot personal pictures from some of their players and like just put it on social media, like oh, they're I'm out on a date with my wife, and then like the screen, like the team will take and be like, hey, look, there's Philip Forsberg out there with it's like I think that's really weird that happens.
Did that happen with Forsberg?
No, that's just kind of the name that I just threw out there.
Yeah, I'm calling
out just throwing them an example. No, I don't think they do it all that much, but I've seen a lot of teams around sports that do this. And then, so when this engagement was announced the other day, I guess every sports team on the earth felt like they had to comment on it in some way or, like, insert themselves into the middle of it. I'm like, this is just weird. Like, why do you always – oh, sometimes it's okay to just put the phone down. Like, you don't have to involve yourself in everything.
Well, this is one of those – look, when it comes down to it, you know, people talk about, oh, you just want the clicks. Well, the clicks for Taylor Swift.
Oh, there's
Travis
no
Kelce
doubt. Yeah.
To the point where I retweeted this thing. It's pretty hilarious. It was like Lions opponent tight end to marry Taylor Swift. Yeah, it was like Detroit Free
that.
Press.
That's
like everybody, do anything you can do to get it, like get a headline, get clicks to your, you know, site about this. You're going to do it.
I saw that yesterday or the other day when the engagement was announced, and it was like every single sports franchise is talking about this in some way, trying to make it about them. It's kind of weird.
Just wait till the wedding itself.
I know.
It's going to be like Charles and Princess Di dating myself.
I mean, on
that one.
But on, like, this definitely feels like this is the last year for him, for Kelce. I think he's got 1 year left on his contract, and apparently he was telling people that you know, after the Super Bowl that he can't go out that way. So, like, this is it for Travis Kelce. It kind of feels like this is going to be the last year for him, and then he's riding off into the sunset. And we'll see if they win a Super Bowl or not. I mean, he's 35. He'll be 36 in October. I do think last year we saw him maybe showing some signs of not quite being the same guy.
Well, he was out of shape.
Yeah.
I think especially early in the year, and that's probably, you know, you hanging out at the U.S. Open, whatever, drinking champagne. Yeah,
going over to Europe.
Yeah, you know, taking part in some concerts. So, yeah, I kind of feel like he is going to have a bounce back year and probably could play beyond that, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're right. One more shot at it and then
get out. I
mean,
say a down year last year, he caught 97 passes. Now, it was only 3 touchdowns and only 823 yards, which for him is low.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he still went to him a lot, but yeah, he did not. He just didn't look like he had the same burst.
Yeah.
And can I just say, like, you know, this is like extreme levels of fame, and again, they also can get into some of the ridiculous screaming that goes on in the world. But I think they're both two likable people who, like, really like each other. You know what I mean?
I mean,
they're actually, like, I think they're a good couple. They become this huge thing that gets so out of control, but it's like, yeah, they're, you know.
Yeah, they're fine.
Like, yeah.
I wish them all
good.
The best.
Me too.
I wish them all the best.
And I do hope that, you know, I really do hope that, I hope you guys get invited to the wedding.
I hope so. Yeah.
But
I'll be under consideration.
I do hope that Butch gets an invite. If Butch doesn't get an invite to the wedding,
Butch is coming. I'm not going.
Man.
It's Taylor.
Are you sure? Hey,
is Butch going to be there? If so, I don't know if I'm going to be able to show up.
Well, you could say some things to him that you've always wanted to say. You know, get a few pops in you and, you know, just say what, really lay it all out for Butch.
So, Butch, how is it that you became a head coach? How did this happen? Let's trace your history here. How did this go down? How did you ever sit in a room with somebody and they were like, yeah, that guy, head coach?
As I've told you, I've been in Butch Jones' basement in Knoxville with the amazing orange pool table.
Yeah.
Did he have a shrine to Travis Kelce?
I'm sure he did. Man. I'm sure he did.
Did you know I coach Travis?
I was on the phone with Travis the other day, and we were talking about the inter-squad scrimmage.
Got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Ian, do we have a winner for our spot
in the
Robbie Rexroad Fantasy Football League?
Casey Nickel.
There we go.
Casey is in.
Congratulations.
Let's go, Casey.
To Casey. We will have 2 more spots to give away tomorrow. So double the opportunity tomorrow here on the show. The Rex Rant coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I think Stone Temple Pilots, and I promise I don't do drugs.
I smoke weed constantly.
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Come on, Berserker. Girls think sexy.
And I do think this offensive line is built to pound.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. By the way, that one's gotten some run on the text line today. People wanting you to hand out, like, weekly awards to Titans offensive and defensive linemen who are built to pound.
Oh, good. Well, it sounds like maybe Stilly should deal with that topic. By the way, I just sent Chase a request to get back on the text line, so...
Well, it's been a peaceful show.
It has been. I've missed everybody, I haven't had a chance to be mean. All right, I'm going to try to get through this. I think it's going to be fine. Okay.
Okay.
But if it isn't, I apologize. I want to talk about Detroit Tigers, the greatest Detroit Tigers fan ever, because it's my grandma. We've talked about her, Phyllis Pratt. She's a popular topic on the show. We lost her last night.
Mm.
She was 97 years old. She was ready. We got to say goodbye, all of us, you know, and that's all you can ask for. She went peacefully. Actually, Brennan actually asked his prof in class yesterday. You know, he told her, you know, what was going on, and he stepped out, let him step out to call her.
Oh, good.
And say a few words. And so I think that's pretty cool. I want to talk about, there's a lot of things I could talk about with her, but this is a sports show, so we're going to talk about sports fandom. So this is not going to be your typical rant. So text line if you want to complain about that. If I get on, I will send mean text to you.
Yeah.
So first of all, you know, real quick, she's the best person I've ever known. And she also is probably as responsible for me being a big sports fan, certainly a Detroit Tigers fan, as I wear this, if anybody can see my shirt here, which doesn't fit me at all. But this shirt I wore the last time I went with my grandparents to a Tigers game in 2006,
okay?
And I still own it, and it's the beautiful Tigers logo. So Phyllis Pratt, the Detroit Tigers have won 4 championships. She was a 7-year-old girl growing up in the throes of depression in Back Creek, Michigan. You know, they're like waiting in line for loaves of bread when Charlie Gehringer, Hank Greenberg, and the boys beat the Cubs in 1935.
Yeah.
She's 17, dating my grandpa, who was shipping off, you know, for the Navy in the late stage of World War II. 1945, beat the Cubs again. Hank Greenberg, Hal Newhouser. Great, great time. Sounds like an amazing team. 1968, she was 40, raising teenagers. My mom was a teenager. Denny McClain, Mickey Lolich, incredible comeback to beat the St. Louis Cardinals. That's 1968. And in 1984, she's 56, grandmother. We lived in Saudi Arabia at the time. She sent me every single newspaper clip of everything from that. And, you know, we would talk to them like once a month. And so, like, we had a call, and like there was nothing about, like, yeah, you know, how's school or what's it like living in the desert? It was just like, we're just talking about Trammell and Whitaker and the Detroit Tigers.
We could just get a third baseman. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had Tommy. We had Hojo. We had Tommy Brookins that year. But, I mean, like, they took me to my first Tigers game in the 70s. They took me to probably more Tigers games than I've probably been still to more Tigers games with them. And we lost my grandpa like 15 years ago than anybody else. And, you know, grandma was, and my kids call her Gigi, great grandma. She was a huge sports fan in general. Like when Vinnie Johnson beat the Blazers in 1990 with the shot for the Bad Boys, went back. I remember I was at her house. We were hugging. But it was about the Tigers. I mean, she would tell me about the Rocky Colavito trade of 1960. She would tell me, I wish you could have seen her favorite Tiger of all time, Al Kaline, play the game at his best. She was an incredibly kind woman, except when Bo Schembechler fired Ernie Harwell. And I wish, as we go through her stuff, I need to find this because people were so mad. For anybody who doesn't know, Ernie Harwell was, to me, the greatest announcer of all time, radio announcer. I mean, so many nights that we would listen to the games together. The late night, go to 1 a.m. West Coast games, listen to Ernie Harwell. But Bo Schembechler thought they needed more of like a homer, like a bit excitable. It's like almost ruined his his legacy. It didn't as a coach, but it was unbelievable. So the Detroit News and Free Press would printed like they. I swear they had whole sections devoted to letters angrily screaming about this move. And she had a letter printed in the Detroit News complaining about it. And it probably was like still kind of nice knowing her, you know. Like, yeah. I'm really kind of disappointed in you. I need to find this letter as we go through her stuff. But it was printed, so we were excited about that. In 2002, I did a story on Ernie. I went with him, hung out with him for a day. It was his last year in the booth because he did come back,
yep.
By the way. They righted the wrong after not too long with an ownership change. Mike Ilitch actually righted the wrong. So I'm interviewing Ernie all day, but of course I also spent a bit of that time telling him all these things I'm telling you right now. And I'll never forget, he said, well, you just make sure you tell your grandmammy hello from me, Ernie Harwell, straight from Georgia. She also in Florida, there were a lot of lean years with the Tigers, and you know, over the years, they moved to Florida and then they lived there full time. The reason we went 06 our last one, cause they moved out of Michigan. They stopped coming to Michigan.
Yep.
And, so she became a Devil Rays fan too. And now they're the Rays. And, you know, I got it. I understood it. It's like the Tigers are cheeks. And so I think that you should have another outlet for your baseball love. But my Uncle Bill, also someone we've talked about on the show, the huge Lions
oh, yeah.
guy, you know, He has been really taking care of her a lot, you know, here at the end. And he said that she actually, in the last few weeks, just ditched the Rays. She ditched the get the Rays out of here. I only want to watch the Detroit Tigers.
I like
it. I appreciate that. All of this is to say, if you noticed, I just laid out the entire four championships the Detroit Tigers have won. One of them when I was 11.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers, I ask of you, can you win one for Gigi?
Yeah.
Can you win one for Gigi? Please. Rest in peace, Grandma. I love you. And Detroit Tigers, I love you too.
I'm making a bet on the Detroit Tigers right now.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. By the way, plus 900 odds to win the World Series. The third best odds behind the Dodgers and the Brewers. Tigers at plus 900. Third best odds.
You know, if they do win it, I mean, in a way, it's sort of like, so you couldn't have won that while Gigi was around.
Yeah.
But also, I might think that maybe she had a hand in it, too.
I would say
right?
So. Oh, I've now become a huge Tigers fan.
There we go.
The rest of the way.
We should all be Tigers fans.
We should all be Tigers fans. Go Tigers. Go win the World Series out there. Charles Robinson will join us. Coming up next, we will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.